Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have with me for the first time Robert Carrington. He's the president and CEO of New Range Gold Corp. Robert has had more than 30 years of exploration, production, and executive management experience with various junior mining firms. He is a geologist. He is the former CEO and a director of Gold Canyon Resources and the CEO and founder of Colombian Mines Corporation, which is now the company we're talking about, New Range Gold Corp. As an earlier explorer in Colombia, his experience was the basis for forming that company's operations down there, and perhaps we'll have a chance to ask him a little about that as well today. But primarily now our focus is on the Pamlico Gold Project in Nevada in the Walker Lane Gold Trend. New Range Gold Corp. trades in Toronto under the symbol NRG. You can buy it down here in the pink sheets, as I have, under the symbol CMBPF. 65.2 million shares outstanding. Recent price, 52 cents Canadian. That's about 41 cents or so in U.S., giving it a market cap of 27 million in U.S. money. So welcome, Robert. I'm so glad you could join me today.
Great. Thanks for having us.
You know, we've picked up your stock in my newsletter at 23 cents in U.S. money, so we've seen about, it was over a double at one point in time. So the big question that we want to focus on today is, you know, what sort of upside do we have from here? A nice gain so far for my readers, but what about people that are looking at it now? And clearly you're, 27 million market cap. If you've got something that's significant, that's a very, very small market cap. And my thinking is, and the reason I continue to own it, is that there's a lot of upside. So I'd like to pursue that with you. Can you talk a little bit about what attracted you to the Pamlico Gold Project, and maybe give us a little bit of the history of that project?
Well, what clearly attracted me was the private family that New Range acquired the property from had identified some very nice high grade shoots, and while they were looking at it as a very small mining opportunity, when we started looking at the structural geology of the property, it looked like it very obviously was much larger than they were conceiving. The history of Pamlico is quite interesting. It was discovered about 1884, fairly late in the history of the early gold mining in Nevada, and it rapidly became known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold mining districts. Mm-hmm. Pamlico is vastly underexplored relative to most other properties and districts in Nevada, and that's largely because the entire district has been in private hands since before 1900 and has missed most of the exploration that is common on most other properties and districts throughout the state. So mm-hmm. the opportunity really is much more like we would have seen in the U.S. in the early 1960s mm-hmm. than what most people anticipate on properties today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've staked 111 new claims on June 26th. You made that announcement.
Right.
What did you see that caused you to do that?
The new claims cover some extension of the volcanic-hosted mineralization, which is our current focus.
Mm-hmm.
But going down the road and as a growth incentive in the future, there's a lot of sediment-hosted mineralization that we've identified in the eastern half of the property. There's an extensive series of carbonate platform sediments, in some ways similar to the sediments that host many of the other sediment-hosted gold systems throughout mm-hmm. Nevada. We see grades in the carbonate sediments ranging anywhere from a tenth of a gram to a high of about 5 grams.
Mm.
And there are some historic mines in the carbonates. We started looking at that and staked some claims actually in 2016 and then more here that we announced in June. Started looking at the preliminary geophysical responses we were getting, and it certainly suggests that there's some alteration indicative of mineralization in those carbonate sediments. So we wanted to get that covered off before we had new neighbors. We wanted to make sure that since we think this truly is a district scale play, that we controlled what we thought was the prospective part of the district.
What can you tell us about the structural controls of the gold that you're encountering so far? Is it a vein hosted system?
It is not a vein in the classic sense of a vein. The mineralized structures that we're encountering, both in the channel sampling, in the decline, and in our first phase of drilling that we executed this year are basically highly mineralized shear zones with almost no quartz or silica in them. So a lot of the quartz veins that you see outcropping on the property really are kind of red herrings, in that they don't contain very much, if any, gold. And a lot of the best mineralized structures really don't even outcrop. They may come up to within a few feet of the surface, but they're typically not outcropping. And an awful lot of this seems to be or was not understood by the early prospectors, who, as most small miners do, focused on the veins.
So we're looking at a fairly shallow target, at least to start with. Is that right? We're looking at what you've encountered. I mean, you did some trenching, and the trench results were absolutely spectacular. And at 1.5 meters, the highest, I guess the highest reading, 104.75 grams per ton. What did you learn from that? And yeah, talk about that a little bit. And if there's any depth potential for these structures, if you know that yet.
Well, we don't have enough drilling to really assess the depth potential for these. I think there is certainly potential for these structures to extend to depth. The meter and a half of 104 gram mineralization you referred to was actually the Saka channel sampling from the decline. And one of the most important aspects that came out of that was a 70 foot or a 70 meter intercept of 2.9 gram gold.
Nice.
Very nice. And then in our phase one drilling, we drilled a hole perpendicular to the decline and wound up with a very similar grade in there. We had 72 meters of 2.5 gram. This entire system is deeply oxidized, so it metallurgically we believe it'll be very simple. The shallowest intercept we have actually is that 70 meter intercept I just referred to. The top of that intercept occurs at 1.5 meters. That's roughly 5 feet. So, and it continues uninterrupted to 72.5 meters.
Really good. How much have you been able to trace the lateral extent of these structures at this point in time?
Well, there's two distinct and very different gold domains on the property. One is the volcanic-hosted gold mineralization. And in that particular domain, we see gold mineralization over an area that's approximately 1.5 miles long and a mile and a quarter wide. The sediment-hosted gold mineralization, we see numbers ranging from a tenth of a gram to 5 grams over an area that's 3.4 miles long and a third to a half a mile wide. So very, very extensive systems with a lot of gold over a very large area in multiple target types and multiple domains that I think are all going to yield a lot of very positive results as we get into the details of them.
Well, I can tell you that some of the early results are really, really eye-popping, I must say. There's a 6.1... This is a drill intercept, 6.1 meters, grading 97.94 grams per ton. Another one, 4.6 meters, grading 43.8 grams per ton. What can you tell us about those?
Those, again, are very much like the sampling and the decline. There's no visible quartz in either of those intercepts. As a matter of fact, the geologist on site was having a hard time identifying anything that might be mineralized in any of the drilling. Where the only clue to gold mineralization is a relatively minor increase in the amount of iron oxide in the rock. And the in our holes 8 and 10, which contain some of those very good intercepts you were just talking about, we're interpreting that to be part of an almost east-west trending structural system with some potentially very interesting widths. We're doing a lot of modeling right now. I think we'll see this come together as a series of very high-grade mineralized structures that are parallel or mimic the regional structure. Of course, in the Walker Lane, the regional structure trends northwest, and the Pancake Range liniment, which I talk about extensively in some of the press releases, is an almost east-west trending structure. And so as these two major structural systems intersect each other, I think we'll see very large high-grade shoots with structurally controlled mineralization between.
Well, Robert, you're talking about a very large target area. How much money do you have in the till, and how far will that take you?
We have about $1.5 million in the treasury now. And we recently completed airborne magnetic and radiometric surveys on the property. That is currently being modeled by a geophysical consultant. I expect to have results from that in the next 3 to 4 weeks. The 22nd of August, we'll start a gravity survey, which is extremely useful for exploring altered sediment hosted systems. And that those results will be out about the same time the mag and radiometric surveys are. And then we're planning on starting a large diameter core drilling system or a phase in the immediate area of the Merritt decline and our holes 8 and 10 to assess that. And then shortly after that, we'll be starting a reverse circulation program to get better definition of the mineralization in and around the Merritt decline and our holes 8 and 10. We want to try and follow all of that up and grow that as much as we can. Obviously, the gold mineralization extends from grassroots to depth. We need to figure out what the aerial distribution and the vertical distribution of that is. Mm-hmm. And then as we move on into completion of that, we will probably step out and drill some of the other targets that we're identifying as we speak.
I can imagine after you finish your geophysics, the geophysics that you're starting now, that will also help you figure out a pretty extensive drill program for next year, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, well, next year there's going to be a lot of drilling on a lot of other parts of the property. Between now and then, on some of the outline targets, we're going to be doing extensive backhoe trenching. There are a number of pediment areas on the property where there's no outcrop at all, but very well mineralized structures project out into the pediment area. So I'm optimistic we're going to have some real excitement as we start exploring these, because the those pediments typically are there because the host rock is more altered and was more easily eroded. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we get in the backhoe trenching and then the subsequent drilling.
Robert, with just about a minute or so left, I have two questions to ask you. One has to do with what are your plans? Do you see your company as an exploration company, or might there be some early exploration or early production, perhaps from the Merritt Zone? And the second question is, you do have a presence in Colombia. Could you just comment briefly on what you expect to do with your Colombian assets?
We certainly have the ability to move into early production, although I'm not sure. You know, it's going to be data-driven at this point. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at several possibilities for early production. We have members on our advisory board who have built mines, and I've been involved in both underground and open pit production in my career, so I know what that's all about. But primarily, we're going to be focused on exploration, growing this with the goal of getting a compliant resource in the near term.
Mm-hmm.
As to the Colombian properties, of course, the company was originally founded as Colombia Mines. We were focused on Colombia. We have either sold or dropped all but two of the two best Colombian properties. One is the Romulito gold porphyry system just south of Medellin, Colombia. We completed 18,000 meters of drilling there, and I have a consultant reviewing the data right now with the goal of determining whether he thinks we can come up with a compliant resource. The goal there, of course, would be to complete a maiden 43-101 resource on that that property. We've conducted large diameter metallurgical tests there, and we get over 92% recovery in a heap leach environment on that. So it's a very promising property. The other property we still hold in Colombia is El Dobio. It's a gold-rich polymetallic system where we see surface outcrops to 104 grams. We have drill intercepts, very high-grade drill intercepts, 8 meters of over 20 gram gold. Very, very interesting property there. Geochemically, it looks like there's about a kilometer-long system there, and we see intermittent outcrops along that that are buried with overburden in between. So it's a real exciting property. It has a good base metal component, so it I think that's a very interesting property. It's very, very similar to the El Roble mine that Tico Resources
All right, we're going to have to leave it go at that. It seems like you might seek a joint venture partner, perhaps, for the Colombian operations, Pamela.
We're looking at joint venturing or some kind of a business agreement on either or both of those properties.
Right. Well, this is a very exciting story, Robert, I must say. Pamlico plus your assets down in Colombia. Thank you very much for being with us today, and I hope to keep up with you on these stories, both for my newsletter and on this radio show in the future. So thank you very much. All right, folks, well, don't go away, because coming up next, Ronan Manley will be with us to talk about some very helpful insights into the gold market, what drives the price of gold. So don't go away. Ronan Manley will be with us.